Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. I'm trying to make sure that I cover everywhere, no matter where someone may be tuning in from. You're tuning in to Midweek Cocktails, and today I have a wonderful guest on. I'll be speaking with Ronnie Tizan, and I'm so very excited. I'm going to give some information on Ronnie. Now, growing up in Southern California, Ronnie developed a love for the ocean and all things coastal. Ronnie lived inland for a few years in Atlanta, Phoenix, and Denver, only to be lured home by the sound of crashing waves and colorful sunsets. Ronnie wrote Heaven or Hell, her first novel, during her treatment for stage 4 cancer. The day after the final edit of this book, the doctor told her that she was in remission. Ronnie believes that writing was a critical part of her recovery, and now it's integral to her life. Ronnie feels lucky. She has a passion that keeps her awake at night, friends who have been in her life for decades, family that supports her craziness, a home on the beach, many more novels in her head, and a body that is healed. She is forever grateful. Now, as well as talking about her first novel, Heaven or Hell, we'll be discussing Ronnie's newest release, which is titled Twist. And Twist is a romantic suspense full of twists and turns. And I'll just give a bit of description on that. When a steamy incident in the backseat of a borrowed car plunges 16-year-old Beatrice Malcolm smack in the middle of a global manhunt, she discovers that the search for her fugitive father has more to do with her than she could ever imagine. With her mother gone, Bee's life is unraveling in the worst possible way as she's thrust into a world of government conspiracy, insanity, and mind-altering experimentation that forces her to make a life-or-death decision on who to believe, the FBI or her father. In Twist, Ronnie Tizan has crafted a suspenseful tale of love, betrayal, and intrigue with a cast of characters who will leap off the pages and stay in your heart long after the last page has been turned. Welcome, Ronnie. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on your show, Janice. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. You know, I think that, I'm going to tell one of the things that I just absolutely love about doing this show is that I get to meet some of the most fascinating authors. I say that because I get to meet you up close and personal. It's just not about reading your work. It's about really getting to know you. And I think in doing so, you can actually appreciate someone's work that much more. So thank you very much. And we, So I'm just going to jump right in because I have questions, and I am so ready to
to really
dig and just you know, and to discuss your experience, because your experience, and I said this, you know, at the before the show started, as I was talking to you, your experience is, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't know how very fortunate we are, you know, whether we say we're fortunate, we're lucky, we're blessed. We just don't know the depth of that, you know. And I want to open with asking you a question, and you know, because as I began reading Twist, you know, this was going through my mind, and I mentioned this to you because there's so much to your words, you know, there's so much purpose there, and I said, you know, it's almost as if it's not. And it's not intentional, but there's purpose, there's greater meaning to what you write. So in saying all that, now purpose is such a simple term, yet it holds much promise. What does purpose mean to you outside of the actual dictionary meaning?
What a great question. And so I'll talk to you as it pertains to me personally, and then if I can, I'll talk a minute about the books with it. So when I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, it seemed like my life came to a grinding halt. And a lot of people, I believe, including myself, feel like, oh, God, I can't wait till I retire and don't have to work, you know. I was working quite a bit at that time, and I remember putting in 16, 17-hour workdays just – not exaggerating, just literally being buried, waking up early in the morning to be on conference calls, ending when the sun goes down, or being on planes and traveling as an executive in the industry I was in. So I recall all of this, and it was just a busy, busy life. And there were moments of sheer stress. Well, when everything stopped and it came to a grinding halt, that was all I had. So the word purpose is really important here to me, because I remember thinking, without work, I felt like I had no other purpose. Well, what am I going to do? I can't work. I'm, you know, and that's a whole other story. But, you know, my health, I'm in major chemo. I have no hair on my head. If I travel on an airplane, I could get sick. You know, what am I going to do? 2 days after chemo, your brain starts coming back and you want to do something. So at that point in time, I realized that, you know, I wasn't living my life with any purpose other than thinking work was everything, you know, including everything in my life, from my relationship to, you know, these things fell apart for a reason. I didn't have a purpose. I really didn't. And so I did what a lot of people would do. I made a list. Well, I don't know if a lot of people would do it, but I made a list. I didn't call it a bucket list. But the first thing that I wanted to do was write this book that I'd started 2 years before and didn't have time to get back to it. And it just was a desire that I've always had. I've been taking writing courses since the late 90s off and on, and now flash forward, we're in 2010 and I still haven't written that book. And Janice, I'm sure there's people that are listening that mm-hmm. have always wanted to write a book
mm-hmm.
and they just don't get to it, right? So so purpose was a big, I just remember even thinking that, man, I don't have any purpose. What am I going to do? I mean, I'd wake up and turn the TV on and go, now what? Because I'm not working. I'm not on conference calls. And all I can think about is cancer eating away at my body. That's not good. So I need to have a purpose. So that was huge. That was huge. So from a personal standpoint, that was the most valuable learning experience for me. The book itself does have a lot of meaning and intent behind it. And it wasn't all on purpose. I hate to use that word again like that, but it really wasn't. So there's a constant theme in the stuff that I write. So there's two books that are published. There's a couple others in between that we're still working on. But both of them have an undertone to them about basically you might not, you know, get what you want in life, but you get what you need. And sometimes the way you look at things is, you know, can make it really bad or really good. And it's all things that I went through.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So you infuse your life into your stories to a certain degree.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. You know, I strongly believe that, you know, everything that we go through over the course of our years, there's a reason, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, would you agree?
Oh, yeah, and you know what's so funny is I'm stubborn. Well, I don't know if that's funny, but to me it is sometimes. I had to really, really, really be hammered with a lot of things that had to go wrong in my life for me to realize I was on the wrong track. And then some people are like, this as well, and you might be able to relate to this. You get 2 years down the road and look back and go, oh, that's why that happened. I'm glad it happened, but when it's happening, you're not so glad. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, gosh, let me tell you. Over and over again. And I mean, you are not lying there. And I'm sure that a lot of people can actually say, you know, yes, that applies to them as well, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the whole, oh, gosh, that's the whole thing about, you know, about life, you know, and this cycle, because, you know, it's a cycle. You know, it's a cycle, and we're storing up experience, you know, things that we may need in the future, you know. Now, you mentioned that you had taken, before you even wrote your first novel, you were taking writing classes, you said?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought, okay, so here's a little bit of naivety, maybe even some arrogance. I would be reading, thinking, oh, I could do better than that, you know, for years, because I traveled a lot and I would read. Then you get in front of a blank page, and this is, it's not as easy as people think. There's so much that goes into it.
Yeah.
But it's just such a passion that I've just continued with it, and it's more ferocious as I go, more I learn and the more I do. And then the more I learn, the more I know I don't know. So, and I think life in general is like that. But, I had to take many writing courses and I've had many mentors, and I'm constantly looking for someone at the next level so that I can better my writing. It's one of the reasons why I'm right now at the Santa Barbara's Writers Conference. I want some feedback on another book I'm working on, but I also want to, what's the word, fellowship, I guess, with other writers?
Yes, and that's important. That's very important, you know. Now, the Santa Barbara's Writers Conference, how is that going for you right now? I'm sure there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I'm here. I think it goes through Thursday. I've met a lot of people. I've met, seen some Pulitzer Prize-winning authors speak and met her, and Jane Smiley was here. I don't know if anybody knows Fannie Flagg. She actually showed up because of another author that's a friend of hers that spoke. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that, Mark Childress, who wrote Crazy in Alabama. So I've got to meet these people and buy their books. How can I resist, right? Get their signatures. But there's also a lot of workshops here, and it was why I chose this, because I wanted to sit in on a few. One of them was a screenwriter's workshop. I'm turning Twist into a screenplay. So there's interest in that direction. That's all I can say on the topic. But so that, and then also, it's just been great. There's something for everybody at this little conference. It took me a while to find one that would have all the things that I wanted, and I wish there were more hours in the day to attend everything, you know?
Wow. No, that's great. That's great. I think about 2 weeks ago I went up to New York. Well, you know, they have Book Expo up there, and I went on Saturday just for BookCon. It was my first day going, and for me, I felt like a kid in the candy store.
I bet that was awesome.
Yeah, and being in that environment, being around like-minded people, you know, being around book lovers, there's just something about a book, about a story that just, oh gosh, that just sets you, you know, that just kind of sets you off and makes you go, ah. You know, Now, you mentioned that after you had written Heaven or Hell, and you set it aside, and then 2 years later, you picked it up and you started reading it again. What was, and you were saying that, you know, you couldn't believe it. Now, what, if you don't mind, just giving a bit of background on Heaven or Hell.
So, please. I will. When I was a teenager, and I didn't read a lot of authors will tell you I read when I was a kid, I was obsessed. I read a little bit. I didn't really start reading ferociously until I was an adult. But when I was a teenager, I was obsessed with life after death. So I got all the Raymond Moody books, Life After Death, or Life After Life, I think they were called. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff on that particular subject. So I had this idea in mind that later became Heaven or Hell, and the protagonist completely changed. That happens. But the, you know, the inciting incident is this guy's about to die, and he abandoned his family 20 years before. And he's having, like, even it starts with a near-death experience where he's floating above his body. And he has some really interesting, very important information he needs to share with his one living daughter. And she doesn't want any part of him because he abandoned her when her mom died, when her sister died. So she was all alone with just her aunt. So he's working his way back into his life as he's dying. And there's some, you know, a little spirit following around, and it's just very, you know, there were noises in my house for years. I always believe that there's somebody there watching me, whether it's grandma or, you know, somebody I know that deceased. So the book kind of came out of those ideas of the noises that happened in my house, and the fact that I'm obsessed with these near-death experiences, and then there's some scenes that go there. And I set that book down because, you know, there's something about, this cancer battle is not fun, right? So it kind of reminded me of a little bit. So I just kind of said, sit it down for a while. And I actually had an agent shopping it at the time, but I didn't look at it. It takes a while to sell a book. You have to revise and do all kinds of things. It sat there for several months. And when I finally picked it up and read it again, I said, wow, this is a really, I don't know how I did this. The story's intertwined. I didn't keep a graph or, I didn't keep a chart. I just wrote it, you know, and I kept rewriting it every day. I had nothing else to do. But I kept rewriting it every day, and it was intertwined. And so when I read it a year later, it kind of shocked me. You know, I'm like, wow, whoever wrote this was messed up or something. And I'm like, oh, it was me. Maybe it was chemo fog. But, yes, I mean, it's a very well-crafted story, and I have no idea how I wrote it. Some of the reviewers have said anybody that loses a family member should have this book. And I remember there was a friend of mine that I went to college with that sent me a text after she read it. She said, you know, I had a friend that was actually passing away from pancreatic cancer, and I had to put your book down because somebody in the book has that. And that was planned before I had breast cancer. But as she said, I had to put it down. But when I picked it up again and read it, it really helped me. So thank you. And this book is fiction, but I believe some of these things can and do happen that are in the book.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing with fiction, you know, making the stories as believable as possible, you know, and really bringing things to life. I know prior to the show, we were talking about, you know, I mentioned that, you know, your writing, it just really reaches out and it pulls readers into the now, you know. And I mentioned, you know, the whole analogy about not being, any story really is not something of the past, you know. It's a living, breathing experience that any reader can experience whenever, or any reader can be a part of whenever they open that book, or, you know, or pull it up electronically. You know, it's something that they are going to live right then and there, you know. And I think too, that may be why readers are connecting so well with your work, you know.
Thank you. You know, I like to escape in the book when I write it, just like I like to escape in a book when I read it. I don't know. I have two books in between here that were written with a co-writer, And the ending on every single one of them, I did not know until it was written. And I wrote the ending of all of them, and including the one you're finishing right now, Twist. So, and I do it, and it's kind of fun, because you know how you escape into a book?
Yes.
You escape into the book, and you can't wait to get to the end, and I'm writing, I'm doing the same thing. It's not, you know, even with the rewrite. So I'll write the whole draft and rewrite it. Then, after the final rewrite, I will fine-tune the ending and go, oh, God. Just like a reader would. I feel like somebody's writing through me, like I'm a channel, like I'm channeling these stories, you know, because I'm just as surprised. When you get to the end of Twist, you will be surprised. I was just as surprised as you will be when you read the last page when I wrote it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's great. That's great. Now, the name of the book, Twist, was it something that was just obvious, or did you come up with the name in advance or at the very end?
Oh, gosh, that was tough. It had several names. I had a friend of mine post it on Facebook and get votes, describe the book and get votes. Twisted Memory, Forgotten, and there's all kinds of names. And none of those were in the names. An editor said, I recommend Twist. And when you read the last page, don't skip to it. Don't skip to it yet. But you'll know why that editor said, we need to call this book Twist.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing that you say that, because anyone that knows me knows that I'm a cheater when it comes to reading. Because I can't put, and I have been working on this so much, because I read so much, and I it's so easy for me to literally just get grabbed and pulled into a story, you know, and I care about the characters so much, and I want to know that they're going to be okay. I want to know what's going to happen at the very end. I want to know if they will be and you're laughing, but if you know what the situation will be. So as I'm reading, I'll jump to the very end, you know, and kind of skim through, you know, and then I will go back. Then I'll go back and, you know, and I'll finish reading it, but I can't help it.
Now you're probably going to want to do that, because I'm telling you not to. But I recommend you wait. It's a fast read. So Twist is only 55,000 words. The other book is like 90,000, which is more of a normal. So it's like a novella size. So it's a quick read. You'll get there. Don't skip.
No, I am such a cheater. We have messages coming through from Facebook, and I want to say hi to Tina Brown and also Wendy Uwurum. Now Wendy's in South Africa. She's listening from South Africa. So, and we also have a caller on the line as well.
Okay.
So let me just bring them on. Give me just a moment.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry, Tina.
Hello.
Hello? Oh, I apologize. Hello, caller. Were you just listening, or did you have a question for Ronnie?
I'm listening.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Yeah. So the message from Facebook was that I am not working very hard on not cheating.
Well,
okay.
I don't know if that means that somebody else cheated or if they're picking on you.
No, I am not. Let me tell, because I get so caught up in the storyline. So I have to, for my own sanity, I have to kind of peek at the very end. And then I come back. Like I said, I come back and I always finish them when I do that. But I have to go to the end and I have to peek and say, okay, so this person going to be around? Yeah. But I think the last couple of books that I've read, I haven't done that.
That's funny that you say that, too, because there's an editor for, I can't remember, Putnam or some large publisher here, that said, don't even bother sending me a book where the protagonist dies in the end. I won't look at it. And some people don't want somebody to die in the book. You know, we're all different. We all have, it's subjective. We all have our own taste, and we all, you know, decide what we would like to read and what we don't like to read. So,
anyway. Interesting. No, and that's the, I guess that's the whole having the happily ever after.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like romance novels, right?
Yes. Yeah, I read, I love paranormal reads as well. So.
Well, you will definitely need to read Heaven or Hell because it's got that paranormal twist to it.
Oh.
And not to use the word twist again. That's funny. I just used that word. But yes, so and we were talking about that before we got on the show. You mentioned mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, I think you would like it. So, because of the paranormal. I like that, too. I like, you know, I have enough reality. We have enough reality every day, right? So it's kind of nice to have something, you know, a little bit out there every now and then to keep us going.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Now, what, Ronnie, what's your writing process like, and how different was your writing process when you were, when you were working on Heaven or Hell, as opposed to with Twist and even at this stage of the game?
That's a good question. So when I wrote Heaven or Hell, I would actually come back from chemo and it took me like 2 or 3 days to recover. And then I would just start writing. I was writing the first draft, but sending in edits, writing towards the end of the book and then sending in edits of the first chapter of the book, working with an editor, a mentor of mine at the time, and I couldn't wait to get the feedback from this mentor because earlier, you know, prior to the cancer and all that, I was on the phone all the time and had feedback. I had life in general, you know, phone calls, conference calls. Now I'm bald. I don't want to go outside. So my only lifeline was this person that was working with me on Heaven or Hell. And so that writing process, and I needed a lot of help. You know, I still do. We all need help. I love to have people read my work. But now my level of writing is so much different. And it's a lot better. It's like a muscle. You use it, you get feedback, and you get better. So now, flash forward 4 years from then, I wake up every morning at 4 a.m. I spend about 4 hours writing, you know, take a breather. You know, I go back to it later on at night, and I write all through the weekend. So I spend every day, I write for at least 4 hours, every day. I also am in a writer's group that I get feedback from every week. This new novel I'm working on, I'm putting it through the ringer with them. And they're, you know, sometimes it's a little frustrating, but they have some really good points. And I also have readers that I use now that know the way I write and the types of stories I write. So, you know, my story and my structure are my strengths, my technique, those things I'm working on with a writer's group to really, really, really fine-tune it because I think we can always get better, and I enjoy writing so much. So I literally write every day. Now, this morning I didn't wake up at 4. I woke up at 5, but usually I'm up at 4 a.m. writing.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, and because you're at the writer's conference today, too, and well, you said you're doing the workshops where you're able to have your work critiqued in the process, or that, or they don't have those types of workshops there today.
Well, they have them, but you know, you spend a lot of time listening, and sometimes it's a little overload. It's such great information, so sometimes you got to take a breather. Take a breather, take a step back, and I've got 3 things lined up that I'm wanting to get more information about. You know, I'm just, yeah, I'm a published author. My publisher, Brown Girls Publishing, they've been great to me. I still want to learn more. I know I need to learn more, and I just really want to push it so that I'm, you know, really putting out the best reads possible.
Yeah.
And so I am continually looking for learning from people in reference to what works, what doesn't work, and getting feedback on my work. And I, in turn, do the same thing with other authors. I give them feedback as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I think that's definitely important to constantly, you know, what I do believe whatever we learn you know, it's important to share and to exchange and pass on that information. Now, I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize. Something nearly fell. I have so many things sitting around me right now. But nevertheless, I think it's important to constantly grow. A motto that I have is I should be learning something new every single day. You know, and I strive to do that. And then I think even, you know, with authors, and it's important, I think, to with our work, to really push ourselves. And when I say push ourselves, I don't mean like, you know, stress-wise, but just really push ourselves to grow, to develop more, and, you know, and even in making changes and dare I say, to be able to wow and surprise ourselves. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree. And, you know, sometimes we learn what not to do. Sometimes we learn, we have aha moments, you know.
Yes.
And it's just like, why didn't I ever recognize that? So I absolutely agree with you on that. So this book, Twist, here's what I find fascinating. It was written for something entirely different, and it was written, and I wrote it really fast. It came to me very quickly, like in a 90-day window, and the rewrites, and I bring up the rewrites because I think this is important, especially if we've got writers listening.
Yeah.
You know, I could still rewrite it today. You know, I want to, so I kind of try not to. The first one, too. We could all, it's like a painter with a painting. We could always, let's add more green to that leaf. The story is great. The structure is great. I still would love to get in there and rewrite it. So even my friends are like, Ronnie, stop. So it was written very quickly. It's like it was meant to be. And it came from an idea, the letter B that sits outside my window. I live on the beach, so I'm lucky. My whole life is completely different than it was 4 years ago when I went through the cancer and went into remission and all that. So I live on the beach, and it's my writer's retreat, right? My little tiny writer's retreat. I'm moving in here to write. And I didn't even have this book in my mind. It wasn't. I have a list of ideas. It wasn't even on my ideas. I just looked out the window and saw the letter B. You know, it's an area that's marked off for the lifeguards to drive through, Broadway and PCH. I looked out the window and saw it, and that's, you know, I was going to get a dog, name her B. Instead, I wrote this book, Beatrice Malcolm, and her experience with her father and her family and how everything that happened in this book is actually related to her, and it's just it's a very twisty, windy book that has a lot going on in those, you know, 200 and whatever pages there are. But it came about in a very unusual way, not like anything that I've done before. And it wasn't like plotted out or anything. And yet it's also like the first book, very intertwined. And, you know, the storyline, you know, you've got it from two points of view. We've got Beatrice Malcolm talking. Then we have Lucas Drake, you know. And it's just an intertwined book that is, it's like heaven or hell. I look at it, I look at Twist and go, I can't believe I wrote that. So I don't know. I'm running off on a tangent, Janice, but I was trying to say that it just came about really fast, like it was supposed to happen, and here it is. You know, I'm working on getting the screenplay done, and I'm also working on another book behind this that's not the second book, but there will be next year another book called Sanctity, Twist Book 2. So it's exciting.
Wow. Oh my gosh, you have a lot going on. And that's good. Now, how long in total did it take for you to write Twist?
It took 90 days to get the first draft down and get it solid. And then I had, you know, then we did some rewrites. So it was like a month or two of rewrites. It was fast, faster than I would have liked. But the product's great. And it's a short, it's also short. It's more like a novella. It's not the size of a real huge novel.
But it flows and it moves really quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. I love that you said that your words have purpose, because there's some reviewers that say, I started reading this book and it sounded like a typical love story teen thing. And then I got into it. You know, you start reading and it's more than that. It was designed to be a page turner, so you could, because I love reading page turners. Oh my God, what's going to happen next? What's next page? Next page. But yeah. It's designed to do that. But there is a lot of purpose behind it, and when you get to the end, you'll hear that same theme I mentioned earlier.
You're going to make me skip to the end and then come back.
Well, but your friends on Facebook need to tell you, no, don't do it.
Oh, my God. Now, I'm going to tell you, kind of just a side note, Ronnie. I am so bad that if I am, I do that with television shows, too. Where I am, if I'm watching something, let's say, for example, Game of Thrones, and I just can't resist, I will go online and I will Google the story.
Oh, wow.
I will Google the book and go through and actually read to find out what's going to happen, or at least try to figure out what's going to happen next. And then when I can't get satisfaction in doing that, and Wendy actually mentioned this, I will hunt down if it's a book that if I'm reading a book that, you know, wasn't a movie or anything like that, I will actually go and try to see if anyone posted spoilers just so I could make sure. Let's say, for example, if there's a couple and I need to know if the couple is going to end up together in the end before I can finish, you know.
Yes, I do, though.
No, but I mean, I'm the type of person, I would literally go to the end of a DVD and work backwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would look at the very end and then say, okay, everything will be fine at the end, so let me go ahead and finish reading it. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, you have that probably that real positive outlook towards life, and you really want to add to it. But yeah, you probably can't keep a secret either.
No, I can't. Mm-mm. No,
yeah, I have a hard time with that myself.
Yeah, I'm telling, one of my best friends always says to me, you know, when it's time, whether it's my kids' birthdays or whatever have you, you know, they always know what they're getting. You know, she'll say to me, you told them, didn't you? I said, yeah, I couldn't help it. I was so excited for them.
Oh, how funny.
Why do you bother? Yeah. I can't keep a secret. not in that way. You know, I know
wow.
what to keep, but when it comes to things like that, but I'll say this much. I do that with books that I thoroughly enjoy. Because
I think you're not the only person that does that, Janice. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think other people do that too. They just don't want to admit it.
True. I can't help it, you know, because and for me, reading is like eating, you know, like eating good food, gourmet eating. Well, no, my favorite. I love Caribbean food, so it's like sitting down with a table filled with all different types of food and just diving in, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, you probably eat your dessert first, don't you?
I mean, you know.
Because you skip to the end of the book. So here's what I would like to know, and I ask a lot of people this, when you get to the end, or anybody that's listening, when they get to the end, I would just love feedback on how the ending of this book, and I'm probably going to, this will probably force you into looking at the last page. I don't know. But when you're done reading the whole thing and you get to the end, I really want to know what your thoughts are on it. And anybody that's listening, I would love to get an email or go into my website and reach out to me, because the ending is a little bit different. You know, in life, things aren't always wrapped up in a pretty neat bow, but there's also a really good ending. But you can take it how you take it. So without saying anything more, I just want to know, anybody that's listening or even you, Janice, when you get done, I would love to know what your thoughts are on the ending of the book twist.
Mm. Oh, yes, definitely, because I will post my review on Amazon, and I'll also post it on my blog. So
okay, all right.
But I'll definitely.
You may need to call me. You may need to call me. You may need therapy. No, I'm joking. It's not that bad. But I will tell you this. So When the book came out, I gave it to my mom. Actually, my mom went and bought it. She wouldn't let me give it to her. She calls me like a day or two later. I have to talk. We need to talk. And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I do? You know, it's my mom. And so I'm like, call her back. I'm like, what? What happened? She's like, I want to talk to you about the ending of this book, which is funny because that's not at all what I thought we needed to talk about. I thought something was wrong. You know, and she loved it. You know, she's a mom. She's supposed to. But I have had other folks read it that don't know me that loved it. And the couple that were like, I don't know, Ronnie. But most people absolutely love it. And there are people that I have to preface that with, people that don't know me, even though my mom loves it, people that don't know me love it as well. But there is something unique about it. So, and that's the ending again that I'm talking about, the ending to Twist.
Oh. And yes,
now you're really curious, aren't you, Janice?
Yes, it's eating me up. I'm not really a speed reader. I've been trying to do that more because I love to savor my my read. You know,
here I'm going to share with you when you're done with it. If you go onto my website, which is www.ronnietesson.com. Right in the middle of the first page is you click on that button, it's an excerpt of the next book. So there's a place on my website where you can just download the first 5 chapters of Twist. You can take them and read them. But there's also a place, and I probably need to talk to the website people because I'm not certain how clear this is, but there's one right in the middle that is the first chapter of the next book. Don't do that, though, until you're done with the first book. Now I just realized I told this to you, Janice, so you're probably going to get it before you're done with the first book. But the rest of this book, which is going to be called Sanctity Book 2, or whatever, the publisher may change it, but that will be available next year. It's all outlined and ready to go, and the first chapter is out there for you. There's other chapters. I can't give you everything. But when you're done reading this book, you can go in and get the first chapter of the next book. Just by clicking that button.
Oh my God!
So.
Wonderful.
The other thing I'm working on, and I haven't started. Well, I have many, many drafts of this and many, many outlines of it, but I will finish this by the end of the year. Is a memoir of what I went through with the stage 4cancer battle. The book's called Run. I've been working on it for 4 years, so it's kind of in the shelf or whatever. Well, now we've got a lot of interest in this book, so that is also going to be done by the end of the year. It sounds like I'm doing all these things at once, and I'm really not. Many of them are already done. We're just redrafting and fixing and going, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm juggling a gazillion things at once, but this book, Run, this memoir, will probably be done by the end of the year and come out next year. So there'll be 2 books next year. One of them will be Run, the memoir. The other one will be Twist. The other book that will come out this year is called The Bishop Girls.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, if there's delays, there's delays. And, you know, I'm on a schedule. You know how that works out. But those are the things that are lined up next. And then there's also a screenplay for Twist. So it's all exciting. And I love these stories. They're just fascinating to me. I act like they're not mine because they feel like they're not mine.
Oh, gosh. No, and you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing because you can savor it that much more because I think if we look at it and say, okay, this is mine, then we'll be tempted to mess with it. You know?
Yes, I know. I don't know. You know, I do believe a little bit in things that we can't see, and I just feel I have some strong angels around me. When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, it went into my bone. So to be in remission from that, I feel like I'm a miracle child. And then I've always wanted to write, and now I'm living that dream, and I feel like there's outside forces helping me. I have these ideas, and they're crazy, and they come into my head, and I chase them and follow them, and some of them turn into really good things, and some of them are on the back burner. And I just feel like it's from other, you know, I feel like it's from the universe, from God, from, you know, I just feel really, really, and every day I just wake up and I'm so grateful. I never used to be this way. I used to be kind of a busybody, not a busybody, busy, busy working, never took time to just be grateful to be alive and grateful for what I have and grateful for my health until I almost lost all of it.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. You know, and And right now, things are, I mean, it appears that things are just so much different for you, that much different, rather. And I know you probably look back and say, wow, can you possibly imagine doing anything else at this stage of your life?
No, and, you know, we have birthdays as we grow older, and sometimes we go, oh, you know, to our age. Me, I celebrate. I'm, like, just glad to have another birthday. And, you know, it's not like I'm feet. I don't, you know, to look at me, my picture's on Facebook. It's out there. That's a very current picture. To look at me, you wouldn't know I had stage 4 cancer. Not only did I have the breast cancer, but exactly a year later, the doctor found thyroid cancer, totally non-related. What is this, you know? Here I am healthy, running, working out. Maybe I didn't eat as good as I could have, but I was, for the most part, healthy, never had anything wrong. And then all of a sudden, I'm dealing with two different cancers in a year's time. You know, one of them being is so serious, I have to go every 3 months to get blood work and once a year to get a PET scan and hold my breath. And when everything comes out good, I'm happy as a camper, you know. But, you know, I know something that I didn't know before. I know for certain I have a limited time on this earth. I guess I wasn't paying attention before. And I know for certain, in the amount of time I have, you can be grumpy, cranky, and not get things done and just kind of make the universe at fault for everything that goes wrong. Or you can live each moment and just be grateful. Be grateful that that guy cut you off so you didn't get on the freeway and get in the 10-car pileup earlier. Be grateful that life is handing you some wonderful things and you need to run with them, you know, and be mad for a second about the learning experiences, but then be grateful for them because a year from now you'll understand why. And so these are things that I knew, but I didn't really pay attention to.
Yes, I agree. And now let me tell you, your voice carries so well, you know, through the phone, over the airwaves, so to speak, because you don't sound down on yourself or anything. You have such a positive energy coming through, and I think that's great. That's great because
thank you.
Yes, because your purpose, not only can your purpose just in being a writer naturally, you know, be seen in your work, it's just flowing through, you know, in your words and in your presence and your energy. And that's great. Oh, my gosh, that's great. Now, you mentioned something about being grateful in certain things. I'll tell you, I believe it was probably a little over a year ago. Now, I was laid off last year from my full-time job, and I was so excited when it was like laid
off. That's a great response.
they were like sick and tired of me. They were like, you know, Janice, can you please, you know, tone down the excitement a little bit, you know, just because I felt, okay, I'm going to be able to focus on my true love, on what I, you know, really want to do. Nevertheless, there was one time, I am a morning person, but I remember this one time I got up, you know, my kid, I have teenage boys, they'll be 17 and 18 this year. They're getting ready for school and, you know, they're off, and I just could not get out the door when I was supposed to, you know, and it was almost as if I was meant to be late, and I was getting so frustrated and so angry, like, oh my gosh, because I was up like 2 hours in advance, you know. So nevertheless, when I finally got out, I think, and this is bad, I was trying to leave out much early, but I left out probably about 10 to 15 minutes after the time that I should have left out. And as I was driving on 95, there was an accident. And as I was going past the accident, it was like something was saying to me, that's why you were late. That's why you couldn't leave out when you were supposed to.
Oh, and I so believe in that. Like all the stories surrounding 911 and the people that didn't make it to the building that day, when one had to stop for a Band-Aid. And I just believe in that. We have angels or whatever anybody wants to call it. There's something watching out for us. And your intuition, something was helping you with that intuition or whatever. Something was making you be that sluggish about it. I just that gave me chills when you said that.
Yeah. Well, look, you know what that did for me? And this is where I'm kind of going with it because, you know, I'm listening to you and, you know, and being familiar with your work and I'm eager to now also read, Heaven or Hell, you know, and it's making me think, you know, what I had to actually start doing for myself at that point, if I noticed that, okay, something was slowing me down or whatever, I would just let it. And I said, you know what, I'm testing myself for no reason because there is a reason why I don't even need to worry about the reason.
Yep, go with the flow. And, you know, that's always been so difficult for me. I've been so controlling in my life, you know. I was an executive. I was chief marketing officer of this company, you know, when I kind of got flashed down, you know, through everything that I went through. And that's always been very hard for me. And you are, I mean, look at what you've done. So I know you're probably controlling too. So it's difficult to just go, okay, let it go. This is happening for a reason. But it really is.
Yes, I agree. You know, and you know, one thing that I'm sensing from you too, you have so many story ideas.
Oh yeah.
Great. And it's crazy because, you know, or maybe perhaps crazy is not the right word to use, but it's mind-blowing, wouldn't you say? Because now, if you think about it, if you were still working in, you know, in that role, would you have been, you know, writing and putting these stories together, and, because that would have taken up so much more of your time, right?
Yeah, no, I had to go through what I went through. I was in a long-term relationship that fell apart, too. Everything happened at once. It was devastating. Oh, my God, I was bawling. It was devastating. And I'm not one to bawl for a long time, but it was very devastating to me. And I remember telling the thyroid doctor, oh, God, my relationship fell apart during chemo and radiation. And he just looked at me and said, Ronnie, be glad you're alive. And I'm like, it just, like, kind of put it in perspective for me, you know? So, so all of that had to happen. And the position that I had, I didn't have a second to breathe. And so, and maybe that's why everything else fell apart, because of that job. I don't know. But I wouldn't, if I was still living that way and didn't have the cancer, especially the cancer as hard as it was, it had to be that type of cancer that knocked me on my tail. No, I would not be where I'm at right now. And to go through that again, ooh, you know, chemo's not fun. Radiation's not fun. Surgery's not fun. But, you know, it put me where I'm at, and I'm not doing backflips over having gone through that, but I would not be here today if I didn't go through that. So, and what I mean by might not even be here at all today, but I wouldn't be in this position writing and having these ideas. And just really, I've taken my writing to such a new level. Like even this book I'm working on right now called The Bishop Girls, when you read that, Janice, you'll say, wow, your writing's, oh, wow. You know, it's just, it's like everything in my life has just sped up. It's almost like I feel like I might not have that much time, so I really need to dig in and get it done, you know. Because I understand that now. And I also know, you know, I could have recurrence. I'm not thinking about it, but I'm just going to live my life and be very conscious and live with intent. I never did that before.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you definitely have to tell your story.
You definitely
have to tell your story. Because I can see that, you know, it'll be an eye-opener for many.
Yeah, and I journaled through it, so it's not like it's from memory. I had to go back and read the journal to remember how bad it was at times, because I sometimes look at life like everything is peach king and just disregard certain things that maybe I should learn from. I actually do that. So I had to go back, and I have this journal that I wrote in almost every day when I went through that, and it starts out all lovey and flowery, and oh, the house is in order, and then as I read it going back now, I can see my world falling apart, and I didn't even notice it. I could just see the job, the relationship, the house, you know. There was a lot of success in that family, and it just all crumbled. So, and I didn't notice it because I was focusing on getting well. And before I got sick, all I was doing was focusing on keeping everything together, and it was flimsy. It was like with duct tape. There wasn't the foundation of a good, strong, solid relationship at work or at home, and, you know. And I didn't recognize any of that until later.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that you should say that, because as you're talking, I'm thinking, as you're talking about your reality, I'm thinking about Twist and about how Twist unfolds, you know, and how things that are hidden, you know, come to light and everything. And wow, that's fascinating, because
it's
almost and then for you to be able to relate that to your life in this, wow, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh? And a lot of that's on a subconscious level, meaning it wasn't really on purpose, but even in heaven or hell, later I recognize it. I'm like, oh, ooh, that's my life, you know? There's a scene in heaven or hell about this little girl getting a bee put in her shirt. Part of that happened to me in my real life, but some of it didn't. You know, there's things like that. But on a subconscious level, that is why that book is the way it is. But it wasn't, you know, I wish I was good enough to plan that out.
Yeah, I think we write off of much of what we know, even indirectly, you know, and we don't realize it until, you know, until afterwards. You know,
you're right. And people turn up in my books that I'm like, oh, I wrote about, you know, Coach Hammond in this book. We're probably almost out of time, but he's somebody I know, and his name is Hammond, and it's very similar in personality to Coach Hammond in this book. And I called his wife when we were done. I'm like, I didn't mean to put Dennis in the book, but here he is, you know. So, and that happens subconsciously. And so, yes, we do. Our life. Be careful what you say to me, because it will turn up in a book, you know, and it will, it is what it is. I mean, that's, it just stays in your head, and you don't realize it's there, and it comes out in the book.
That's great, Phil, you know.
Yes.
Great. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, why it does truly come to life, you know. Do you also infuse your personalities into any of your characters, especially the main characters?
Yes, I mean, my personality, and there's some friends' personalities, and I'm trying to think of who these ones were based on. Like, okay, so Luke gets beat up in this book, right? And he's on morphine. Well, that's from my experience of being, you know, all the stuff I went through medically. So I got him floating, and he said, so my spots are, I want to meet the Dalai Lama. No, wait, I am the Dalai Lama. He's just wasted from the pain medicine, and, you know, and he's going through that. That was my own experience, you know. Stuff like that, you can see that's there. And, you know, there's some things about Beatrice that, so there's little pieces of me in every character.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, looking 5 years into the future, and I know this is a bit far. I know you have quite a few books inside of you. I can sense it. How many do you think you'll have out by then?
Well, I'm hoping to have a screenplay that's done by then. Meaning, you know, you can write a screenplay and do all you want, and option books and do all kinds of things, but having them actually come to film and be out. Sometimes it takes decades. So let's put that one up there. And then I want to have at least a book a year. I would love to do two books a year, because I could do one small one and one big one. So five more books, maybe, you know. So I would be wanting, this is a lot. This is aggressive, right? Five books and a screenplay, and the screenplay gone to movie at least. That's what I would want, and that's what I'm putting out to the universe.
Yes, yes. Well, please make sure you keep me posted. We have about 40 seconds remaining, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to give your social media links and where, if anyone wants to connect with you, exactly where they can do so. Please, Ronnie.
Well, I'm on Twitter at Ronnie Tison, R-O-N-I-T-E-S-O-N, my website, my email, send me an email, R-O-N-I-T-E-S-O-N at yahoo.com. I can't give that up, the Yahoo web email. And then my website is ronitesson.com. I'm also on Facebook, so reach out to me on Facebook. Same name, ronitesson. You can find my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any e-book. You know, I encourage that. I love e-books. I like e-books because I can make the letters larger.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I love reading electronic books because I am – especially when I get a lot of paperbacks, and I get my paperbacks to save them. Because
yes,
I
hear you.
And I think they look nice. So nevertheless, thank you so much, Ronnie. It's been wonderful talking with you. And I was just trying to search you out. So, okay, I found you on Twitter.
Great.
So, following you, and I will be certain to tag you in the blog once it's up, and I'm going to try to not skip ahead to the very
yes,
end.
Yes, okay, good. Good, thank you so much.
Definitely. No, once again, it's been a pleasure, and please enjoy the rest of your conference there.
Awesome, thank you. Have a great evening.
Thanks, you too, Ronnie. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in for another Midweek Cocktails.